complain, and it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. I find it hard to walk away. I will not back down when you push me to the wall, expecting me. I'm just that off about San Antonio with the radio blasting and the bird dog on. There's a sea travel, my head set on the town, but no local yoga's gonna shut me down. Cause me and my boys got the trigger around, and we'll come 1,000 miles from a guitar jam.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
I was in a small airplane, and all of a sudden, the engine on the wing caught fire. It exploded, and burning oil was poured all over the right side of the airplane, and we started to dive toward the earth. We were spinning down to our death. Oh, this woman across the aisle, I just was so sorry for her. She was just absolutely uncontrollably hysterical. And I was calm. I was totally calm. Even though I knew I was going down to my death, I was ready to meet my maker. We didn't crash. We didn't die. The spiral dive extinguished the flame. The pilot got control and started the other engine up. And we made an emergency landing out in the field. But I thought through that experience, if you've got a faith, you can handle difficulties. Knowing that with an eternal perspective that all will be well. In Luke 21, the earth shall be in distress, nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. What we're seeing is a prediction that in these latter days, people will be afraid. Men's hearts are failing, and that includes women. Because they forget their identity and their purpose. Heartaches will come. I've lived through the death of a wife and the death of a daughter. I've seen the troubles that divorce brings. Children or grandchildren go astray. Disability, illness, injuries. To the individual who is weak in the heart, fearful in the heart, be patient with yourself. Perfection comes not in this life, but in the next life. Don't demand things that are unreasonable. But demand of yourself improvement. As you let the Lord help you through that, He will make the difference. so grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ that allows me that kind of strength in these tumultuous times.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
When you think that you can take me on, you must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back?
I just wanna let you know. Yeah, get off of my back and into my game. Get out of my way and out of my brain. Get out of my face. Get your face shot.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
And welcome to The Shooting Bench. It is the 17th of July. And it's Monday. Hope everybody had a good weekend. We had we worked a lot this weekend. We didn't have a whole lot of fun, but we managed to get through it. And staying pretty busy. We finally got some rain. Boy, did we ever get some rain. My goodness. It absolutely poured last night. It must have rained all night long. I don't know. It was terribly muddy. Rained again today. So, I think our official monsoon season has set in here. They lifted the stage one fire restrictions. They're still urging everybody to be careful, but it's rained significantly here in the last couple of days, and that is going to help a lot of different things. You know, I have a radio across the room that is making a lot of noise, and it's hard for me to concentrate, and it's probably hard for you to hear me, so I think what I'm going to do is play a little short deal here and run over there and turn that off, and I'll be right back.
Enemy is approaching fast, requesting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command or from party leader Creedy or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. Needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheists, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we won't stand for tyranny. Okay. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
All right, well, that was a little longer than I actually needed it to be, but anyway, there we are. Okay, serious business tonight. We've got several things here to talk about. The most important at this very moment in time here is from Bobby Black, who used to be our head cook and bottle washer here when it was Just Measures Radio. And he still has the website Just Measures Coin Shop. I encourage you all to go and check that out from time to time, particularly if you're interested in buying some precious metals or coins or something. But Bobby has a real problem right now, a real issue. For those of you that follow me on Facebook, you've seen it. If you don't, you're going to hear it, because I'm going to read the whole thing right now. He has written a letter, and I was one of the first of 20 outlets to receive this, to put it out to the public. And it's heartbreaking, and I've got some more to say at the end of this. Let me read this letter. It's a little bit long, but you need to hear all of it. It's worded very well, and it gets the point across, I think, very, very succinctly. Bobby says, "There are times in the lives of men which principle and dedication to God requires a declaration and actions to resist those who wish to impose upon them laws that are wholly reprobate, laws that are crass in their execution without any respect to providence or consideration of his creation. It is the responsibility of every man who holds his salvation dear to resist such. And though our deepest desire is to live peacefully with all men, today we must stand up to resist such tyrannical governmental dictates. This declaration and corresponding actions may cost us our earthly lives. Still, we maintain that eternal life with God is more desirable than to cower to the despotic nature of this godless judicial system, which forces upon its people laws repugnant to God and derelict of office. We have been embroiled in a court case which the judicial has concluded that the spiritual, mental, and moral safety of our children is void of concern. Only that the villainous laws of the state in its vanity must be propagated is the resounding decree. This case revolves around my wife Bridget and her three biological children from a prior marriage. The biological father is a 20-plus year felon with multiple felonies. Amongst his many acts include claims made by his biological son, TJ, and brought to the awareness of a state licensed counselor, the Indiana State Police, Indiana State Senator Tim Tomes, Superior Court Judge Bent Elman, Posey County Prosecutor Travis Clowers, and the Indiana Department of Children and Family Services. These claims perpetrated by his biological father, Tobias Christian Payne, are as follows. He turned the dryer on while TJ was in it. He whipped TJ with an electrical cord. He threw TJ across the room. He neglected TJ and his two sisters while in his custody. If TJ and his sisters were to eat, TJ would search to find something to microwave. He spent all his time in his bedroom and would not spend time with TJ or his sisters. They were not allowed in his bedroom. And when TJ attempted to do so, was yelled at and had the door slammed in his face, then he locked the door. There was always a horrible smell in the home. There were not clean dishes to use. There was cat feces and urine all over the home. He did not supply beds for them. TJ made pallets in the living room floor for him and his sisters. They were not allowed to change clothes or bathe. He kept them locked in the house and would not allow them to go outside and play. He punched TJ. He threw TJ down concrete stairs. He kept cameras up everywhere to see who was coming and going inside and outside of the home, creating a state of fear and imprisonment. He brought TJ into the bedroom and fondled TJ in his genital area for several minutes in a fashion that resembles masturbation, then left the bathroom. He constantly yelled at TJ and his sisters, calling them names. He locked TJ inside of the bathroom cabinet. Bridget and I have spent countless hours praying and praying with the children, listening to their screams as they have nightmares, holding them while they sob, cleaning up after them when they would wet the bed at night in fear of Tobias Payne and the above-listed events. Today, after 4+ years, I am glad to report that TJ and his sisters are very much proactive children in every aspect. TJ and on his own has acclimated himself and taking the name Thomas Jefferson, as opposed to being called his legal name, which is the same as his abuser and molester. TJ and his sisters are loved by their mother and myself. They are extremely socially active, do well in homeschool, read their Bibles, pray, play, and are able to lead the lives of children in a loving Christian home free of sexual, mental, and physical abuse. They enjoy the outdoors, life on a small farm with animals, fresh air, home-cooked food, and a life encouraging healthy, productive children into adults. Since you are now reading this, it now means that the state of Indiana's Superior Court of Posey County, Judge Brent Allman, has determined that TJ and his sister should be forced to have visitation with the monster that has committed these atrocities. Their mother and I vehemently oppose this. We believe it is insane, cruel, and unusual to force a child to spend time with the very person that has abused and molested them. The court realizes that this will hurt them emotionally to visit, but also believes counseling will fix them emotionally. In short, they are willing to harm a child just so they can attempt to fix them later. Sorry, this is not acceptable not only for our children, but for all children. We will not sacrifice our children and make them walk on the fire because of cowardice and fear. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 42, Jesus states, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were cast into the sea." Therefore, we consider this a salvation issue for us. If we were to abide by the court decree in this case, we ourselves would be party to the children being continually abused in all manners imaginable. Henceforth, we say no. No, we will not abide by the court's decision. We will not allow this monster one more time to abuse or molest these children in any manner. When Tobias is seen driving by, these children cringe and fear him still. They have endured enough. We desire a peaceful end to this and will continue to ask our lawyer, Andrea Kayabanu, not sure how to pronounce that, to continue to work to a peaceful means to protect our children from this monster in the state which cares not for their well-being. We are content to stay at our property until a peaceful means has been acquired. Be it known our desire to be left alone, to freely live and to raise and protect our children from those that would do them harm, as any honorable parent would. However, if anyone is willing to take these children from this home to place them into the hands of this monster, it will meet resistance, even to the giving of our lives to do such. Additionally, Indiana Superior Court Judge Brent Ellman decreed that Bridget was forbidden her Second Amendment right while traveling to and from the court. The court ordered visitation and counseling. Bridget is a lifetime CCW permit holder in the state of Indiana, unlike Tobias, which has numerous drug felonies, including resisting law enforcement. We are completely aware that by these actions we may be fracturing the law of this state. There are two exit strategies we will be willing to consider. That Posey County Superior Court of Indiana reconsider its ruling and reverses such, and all living at this home of 1523 Copper Line Road East, Mount Vernon, Indiana, be exonerated of any and all charges levied against us during the course of these events or resulting from these events. That the state of Indiana change the law, forcing the court to render its decree regarding this case. The court's decision, hang on, I got stuff popping up here and there. The court's decision be reversed and all living, at the home, it says the same thing, to be exonerated of any and all charges levied against them. And then it goes on, of all the people that this went to, different news outlets, including us and several other places. So we're getting a lot of response to this on Facebook. I'm getting a lot of private messages about it. A lot of people offering their help, their homes, whatever. So most of you, except some of the newer ones, remember Bobby. I think you know that he is not one to say this lightly. I think he is completely serious about what he's talking about. I think he is also completely serious that he wants a peaceful resolution to it. And so we're hoping, we're praying, and probably one of the most important things that we can do right now is to get this shared and get this out to as many people as we possibly can. I have shared this with a whole hell of a bunch of people today, and I would encourage you to go to my Facebook page if you don't, or go to Bobby's website. You can share it from my Facebook page. It's also on LFA Arizona, but I'm not sure you can share it from there unless you're a member. But you can share it from my page, or you can go to Bobby's website and get it from there. And his website is still, I think it's Just Measures. Let's see. JustMeasuresCS.com. www.JustMeasuresCS.com. You can go there and get all the information, copy it, paste it to your email list, paste it to your Facebook pages, paste it, you know, wherever you can get any forums and stuff that you go to, and share this. We want a lot of exposure here, and a lot of education, a lot of response. We want the authorities there to know that we have backing, that Bobby has backing, Bobby and Bridget has backing. Thank you, Roger, for putting that up there, and welcome, by the way. I haven't seen you for a little while. So, this podcast, all the podcasts are caught up as promised, as of yesterday. I will get this one up immediately after the show, so that those of you that are listening out there, or the podcast listeners, will also have this immediately instead of procrastinating like I usually do on the podcast. So, now this is puzzling to me. This whole thing is very puzzling, and has been for a long time. It's not just Bobby's deal. This is not the first time this has happened. This has been going on for quite a while. It's been going on up to and including stuff that Obama did and the Bundy deal, the boys' murder, all of this stuff. Why do we not have people? Everybody says, well, why doesn't Trump do something? And I have to ask, why in the hell didn't somebody else do something? Everybody in the legislature, everybody in Congress, everybody in law enforcement, everybody in the FBI, everybody is not corrupt. Everybody is, there are some people in there. Our checks and balances are still in place. What I want to know is, why are these people so scared? Have everybody been threatened? Is nobody willing to stand up? What is going on? Why does this continue? Why did Fast and Furious get swept under the rug so quickly when they had so much proof, so much evidence that our own government was smuggling guns across the border or facilitating smuggling across the border? And on and on ever since, to some degree it's been going on forever, but there's a lot of stuff started going on when Clinton was in office. A lot. People dying. That's still holding true today, as a matter of fact. And I don't even know what to say. I just don't get it. I don't see why we have to continue to beg and cry and plead and all this stuff. We get zero results. None. I just way don't understand this. It's above my pay grade, I guess. Hello, Eddie Crump. Glad you made it in here. Too bad you're so late. So we'll see you in the corner here in a little bit. So there you have it, and this stuff is going on with kids all over the country. Has been for a long time. I remember being first introduced to this in a tragic, heartbreaking story back in probably 98 or 99, somewhere in there. Maybe 2000, but I don't think so. And it just seems that there's been, we've talked about quite a few of them on the show. There's been, a thousand of them go by that we haven't talked about. And I don't understand. I don't understand why we don't have someone in authority that's doing anything at all. And I don't understand why Americans are not being more vocal and more serious, more proactive in dealing with this problem. And it is very much a problem. So I'll just leave that right there for now, and we'll go on to other things. Now, I will continue to maintain that there are good cops out there. I know that there are. I know some of them personally. But I swear, I cannot. It makes it very difficult to have faith in law enforcement. We can have faith in individual officers in the establishment itself. Establishment, is that the right word? Anyway, and in law enforcement in general, people are running out of faith. Hello, Charlie. Running out of faith. Running out of respect. Every week and almost every day, we have another story similar to this one. This is another thing that's been going on quite a while, but it used to be that you saw one once every every 6 months, 3 months, a month. And now it is honestly a daily occurrence to some degree, some worse than others. Some of you may have seen this on the news or in Facebook or whatever. There is a police officer in Minneapolis, that it's hard for me to watch my language here. This absolutely makes me freaking furious. This Minneapolis police officer, they find out, they've released his identity now, and they find out that he is Muslim, he's Syrian. This 40-year-old lady from Australia, gorgeous lady, good-looking lady, very happy with her husband-to-be. They were just about to get married. The husband's son is already calling her mom. He's devastated. And this cop, she called 911 because she heard a noise in the back alley. Okay, don't call 911 when you hear a noise in the back alley. Just go get your gun. Well, being from Australia, she probably didn't have one and may even not care anything about it. I don't know. But now it's still undetermined why he did this. But this cop pulled up, shot from the police car through the open window right in front of his partner, and killed this woman. There's apparently no rhyme or reason for what he did. There's no video, of course, as of yet. Body cameras turned off. The squad car was sitting in such a way that it... Well, they were sitting in the squad car, so... anyway, they said that it... let's see. So there's a lot of unanswered questions here. I want to find out. I read the story earlier. I'm trying to find out. Somewhere in here. Well, anyway, I told you what happened. I was going to read it word for word. But anyway, he was sitting in the car, shot through the open window. Right, Rolex, he was Somali, I'm sorry. Yeah, I said Syrian. Yeah, he's Somali. Same difference. But Somali was his, the correct nationality there. So we may have more than one issue here. We have cops that are not policing themselves. I don't see this woman was unarmed. She's the one that called the cops. Why did he shoot? Why did the one sitting in the passenger seat, the guy had to stick the gun right in front of his partner's face? Why didn't the partner? He had to have seen what was going on. Was he in on it? Was he scared? Was he confused? Did he not, just didn't dawn on him what was happening? Or is this bigger yet? The whole Muslim thing here. He's been an officer here for what, 5 years, I think, something like that. Maybe it was 11 years. I don't remember. It's been a while, at any rate. No, he joined the department in March of 2015, so it's only been 2 years. Celebrated as the first Somali officer for the 5th Precinct. It just makes me want to pull my hair out. I mean, this woman had done nothing. completely innocent, unarmed. All she did was call the cops. How many times have we done stories over the last 10 years? How many stories have we done of someone that was killed? The very person that called 911 was killed as a result of it. This has happened more than once, more than twice, more than three times, more than several times. I ought to do a little research on that and see if I can find out how many times that had actually happened. Well, at any rate, I think what we'll do here is take a little short break. And got some more stuff I want to share with you. Kind of important stuff. Things that might be close to home for you, so to speak. So, anyway.
I'll be back.
If he brings you happiness, then I wish you both the best. It's your happiness that matters most of all. But if he ever breaks your heart, if the teardrop ever starts, I'll be there before the next teardrop falls. Si te quiere de verdad y te da felicidad, te deseo lo más bueno a los dos. Pero si te hace llorar, a mí me puedes hablar. Y estaré contigo cuando triste estás. I'll be there anytime you need me by your side to drive away every teardrop you cry. And if he ever leaves you blue, just remember I love you. And I'll be there before the next teardrop falls. And I'll be there before the next teardrop falls.
This is a island that at its widest level is, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level, location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, we're back. Isn't that not the dumbest individual that pooped between a pair of boots right there that has ever pooped between a pair of boots? I can't even believe that. I'm astounded every time I play that. Anyway, before we get started on this next one here, let me hop over to the chat room and see what's going on. Not hopping very good for some reason. There we go. Nice little hop there. All right, let's move on here. Let me see what all is going on here. Chat room's a little slim for some reason, again. I guess everybody's moving over to the... Good night, Pumpkin Cat. Everybody's migrating over to the podcast. Okay, here we go. We talked numerous times over the last little while, the last several months. We probably started it a couple of years ago, about how bad things are getting in Venezuela. And it has gotten worse and worse and worse. And it is, who is what, Rolex? What are you talking about? Mirror? Not sure what you're talking about there. You remember the movie Mad Max, right? Well, there is a real-life Mad Max event happened in Venezuela recently, very recently, in that, and it looked just like out of that movie. As a matter of fact, for those of you that follow me on Facebook, I said, see, it doesn't just happen in the movies. It looked just exactly like a scene from Mad Max. There was about 30 or 40 motorcycles got to follow in this truck. They had some other, and I don't know if the motorcycles themselves had Molotov cocktails with them or if they had guys waiting in the curve there, but you could see the explosions from Molotov cocktails, probably, I don't know, half a dozen or so of them. They got the truck stopped. This was a big truck. And it's unclear what happened to the driver. I did see somebody running through the brush there off to the left after this had been going on for a little bit. I'm hoping it was the driver, which I certainly encourage him to get the hell out of there and not... Rolex, that was Hank Johnson. He's a representative out of Georgia, Democrat, if you hadn't figured that out already. Yeah, Democratic representative out of Georgia. Stupidest man in the world, I think, or rates right up amongst the top three anyway. So, back to Venezuela. They got this thing stopped, and here's all these motorcycles and mopeds and people in their car, and people, numerous people. Some people just pulled over behind and watched. Other people got out of their cars and ran to this truck. And folks, the whole reason for doing this was to steal bags of sugar off the truck. There were big 50-pound bags of sugar. There were some of them had a bag balanced on the back of their moped or back of their motorcycle or whatever, and headed back towards the way they came, towards town. And some of them had a, you know, threw one over their shoulder and was headed out in the woods and all of that. And it looks like a scene out of a movie. I just couldn't believe what was happening there. But Venezuela has been, over the last several months, they've gotten where they've killed zoo animals. They've killed all the household pets, trying to find something to eat. I'm telling you guys, hunger is a great motivator. And when people get hungry, they are probably the most desperate people that there are. And I just can't help but think that our turn's coming here in the land of milk and honey. We'll see. I actually have a friend on Facebook that has family in Caracas, Venezuela, and they sent an email to them today to get a firsthand account of what the situation is like in Venezuela and see if it corresponds to what we're seeing in the news and everything. So as soon as I hear back from her, I will share that with you guys. So, what else do we have here? We got lots of stuff going on. Let me get my crystal ball fired up here again. I'm going to save that one for Wednesday night. Now, this kind of goes along with kind of the same type of deal as we first started talking about with Bobby. It's not a custody thing. It's just a thing about children. And this happened in New Jersey. Now, you know, I have looked this up. It's on more than one account. The best I can tell, it is a true story. I don't understand how it is a true story, but it was a true story. Good night, Charlie. Glad you could make it in. Good to see you. Two nights, two shows in a row there. Okay. In New Jersey, police were called to this school after a 9-year-old student said the word brownies while talking about snacks. That's what his mother says. Another student apparently had misinterpreted the comment and thought it was said in a racist manner. Even if it was, you call the cops? According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, that's what happened. A teacher called the police. He said they were talking about brownies. Who exactly did he offend? That was what the child's mother said. The mother says, you know what, I'm thinking twice about this. I don't know if I'm going to send them back to this school or any school again next year. She said, I'm not comfortable with the administration. I don't trust him, and neither does my child. He was intimidated, obviously. There was a police officer with a gun in the holster talking to my son, saying, tell me what you said. He didn't have anybody on his side. Officers also spoke to the children's parents, and the incident was reported to the New Jersey Division of Child Protection and Permanency. Are you kidding me? Good Lord, I cannot even believe this. Collingswood Police Chief Kevin Carey said that during a meeting with school officials that they should report incidents to police, including cases as minor as simple name-calling, that the school would typically handle internally. So the school staff here is taking the police chief's arrogant, unconstitutional, illegal suggestion here or as an order and saying even something, you call us, even if it's just name calling, you call us. You know, you don't just send somebody to go stand in the corner or paddle their butt or call their parents or make them do, you know, send them to the study hall, make them do extra work or anything like that. You call us. You call the guys with the guns and we will take care of it. Don't you worry about that. And if someone says brownies, you bet you will be here because that is no good. They said this policy was a shift from the previous one under the memorandum of agreement between the police and schools in New Jersey, under which incidents were reported only when deemed serious enough. Okay, well, I can go for that. Such action was typically taken in cases involving drugs, weapons, or sexual assault. Okay, I'm all right with that. That's fine. That's the way it has always been and should always be. Since the meeting, officers have been called to the school as often as 5 times a day. 5 times a day they call the cops. Oh, he pulled little Sally's pigtail. Call the cops right now. Shut up. Good grief. One of the teachers said, some of it's just typical little kid behavior. Never before in my years of teaching have I felt uncomfortable handling a situation or felt that I didn't know how to handle a situation. The mayor has ultimately arranged a meeting to discuss incidents. Susie B's joined us there. All right. How much time we got? Not much. Let's see if we can hit another story or two. Hang on here a second. All right. Okay, we got the... Where can we go from here? We've got so many... There's so many stories here that are similar to that. Here is, this is not necessarily similar, but in Varnell, Georgia, police officers are returning from their beats on the morning of July 11th, a week ago, 6 days ago, and handing in their equipment. The city council voted 3-1 to immediately disband the entire department. Now, we also have a story here of an entire department that quit. Wow, here comes... I don't know if you guys can hear that or not. We got quite a storm brewing out there. The tenant was told to spend the day collecting all the police department's materials and locking them up in City Hall. After that, all the officers are off duty for the foreseeable future. It says administrators have called the Whitfield County Sheriff's Office, informing them that they will now need to take over the area. Grant and Fowler went to the home of Councilman Shane Fowler, who is not related to the city's lieutenant. Shane Fowler's wife had complained that he was drunk and loud inside the house. According to police report, he yelled at the officers and poked them in the chest. About 9 days later, an officer took out a warrant for his arrest. Grant said the long delay occurred for a couple of reasons. First, he wanted an independent investigator to review the evidence, which really was just the officer's statement. Second, Grant thought he would brought the evidence to the mayor, said he brought the evidence to the mayor and other council members before deciding whether to charge him. Councilman David Owens felt this was an odd way to handle an investigation. The council then suspended Grant last month, and Grant was the police officer. Then they got GBI involved, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. So this just keeps on getting better and better. And the whole city council got together and said, you know what, we'll just run the whole damn bunch of you off. Well, There's another one kind of similar to that. I'll just glance over here. Matter of fact, I'll just do it right now. Might run us over a minute or so, but that's all right. There was one more story, very similar. Well, I thought there was. Yeah, I'll find it. We'll do it Wednesday. Oh, wait a minute. Nope, that's not it. Okay. Well, at any rate. Rolex into the business of what? Guns? I don't know, brother. I've been tossing this around over and over, and I don't know. Sometimes I really want to, and sometimes I just say, you know what, I just don't want to be under their thumb again. So I don't know. I've bounced this back and forth for the last year, trying to decide. Amy wants me to. She thinks I ought to. So there's a lot of people that email me and call and stuff and send me messages that would like for me to. So I don't know. Okay, well, I'm not going to do my 2 hours tonight. We've got too many things. I'm right in the middle of some big jobs here that I need to get prepared for. I've got things to do, places to go, and people to see tonight. So I will see you all Monday. We do have several gun-related things to share with you Monday night. And please don't forget Bobby and Bridget. Keep them in your prayers. And share. Goodness, excuse me. Share all this stuff that I read earlier. It's on my Facebook page and it's on Bobby's website, www.justmeasurescs.com. Go ahead and get on there and share that as much as you can. So, with all that being said, I think I will ease on out of here now, and I will see you Wednesday night, and be ready for some gun stuff. All right, we'll see you then. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No let's talk it over number I can call. Goodbye says it all. Says it all.